gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free, 'tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shan't be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we turn outright. Tis a gift to be free, tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shan't be ashamed. Turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right.
Good morning, everyone. Would you be seated, please? Welcome to all of you to worship on this day. So glad that you've chosen to be here, and we have some visitors with us this morning. We're glad that you've chosen to worship here as well. And after the service, there will be coffee served in the parish hall, and encourage everybody to stay, get better acquainted, welcome those who are visiting with us. As you came into church this morning, there was a leaflet that has a list of various upcoming activities in the life of the church and beyond. Please pick up a copy of that and take it home with you and hang on to it, maybe post it on the fridge or somewhere. It's got a list of the services for Holy Week and Easter that are coming up this year. So let's continue now as we enter into worship together. Would you stand? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, through the waters of baptism, your Son has made us children of light. May we ever walk in his light and show forth your glory in the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Would you be seated?
A reading from the book of Ephesians. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My shepherd, you supply my need. Most holy is your name.
My shepherd, you supply my need. Most holy is your name.
Pastures fresh you make me feed, beside the living stream. You bring my wandering spirit back when I forsake. Away you pray and in still my table spread, my cup with blessings overflows, your oil anoints my head. My shepherd, you supply my need, most holy is your name. Your sure provisions, gracious God, attend me all my days. Oh, may your house be my abode, and all my work be praise. Here would I find a settled rest, while others go and come. No more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home. My shepherd, you supply my need, most holy is your name. Praise to you, O Lord, King of eternal glory.
Praise to you, O Lord, King of eternal glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisee the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes.
ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Lord, King of eternal glory. Praise to you.
Lord, would you shine your light upon us, that we may not only see, but that we may be blessed by insight that comes from you. Amen. There's a clothing store at the mall, you know the name of it, that sells a popular high-end line of athletic and leisure wear. Once in a while, I'm into the store to take a look for myself. Along the walls, there are racks of stylish clothing, and each item has a little label attached describing what activity you might wear it for, or who it's best suited to, as though everybody buying this stuff is a personal trainer or the star of their Pilates class. And these tags reflect a desired lifestyle, and to wear this labeled clothing makes a statement, if not about reality, at least about aspiration. And I thought to myself as I was looking there one time, imagine if somebody designed a line of spiritual wear with little tags that said things like, "This warm-up jacket is well suited to the man who has a reputation for utter integrity in his business dealings," or "This stretchy pullover is just the thing for the active woman who, in spite of a difficult childhood, has found inner serenity." I want to talk about clothing, and I want to talk about light. There's a story in the Bible, the book of Genesis, about the first man and the first woman. When God first created them, they were innocent. We've all seen this kind of innocence. It's the blissful innocence of little children with sand shovels and buckets playing naked on the beach, uninhibited, under the watchful eye of their parents. According to Genesis, Adam and Eve chose to eat fruit God had said not to eat. And in that moment, innocence was lost. What the Bible goes on to say is that they knew they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together to make clothing, a disguise to hide their nakedness. The irony is that their disguise revealed more than it concealed. There's another passage in the Bible, in Paul's letter to the Colossians in the New Testament, where Paul talks about virtues like humility and gentleness and patience as though they were actually articles of clothing. He encourages followers of Jesus to think of these virtues like a new wardrobe to replace a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes that have been stripped off and thrown away. An offer of a replacement for lost innocence. And here's the text from Colossians. Paul wrote, "You have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." I wonder if you've ever felt like you're wearing dirty clothing. Have you ever wished you could strip off things from your past, shame or resentment that cling to you, like a stain you haven't been able to wash away? In the Psalms, it's written that God takes off our sackcloth and clothes us instead with joy. And in fact, this whole idea of taking off sackcloth and being clothed in joy was represented in a ritual that the very first Christians had for themselves. When people first committed themselves to Jesus Christ and were baptized, these brand new Christians were stripped of their old clothes and clothed in gleaming white robes that showed they had been bathed in the purifying light of Christ. And in fact, this is where the custom of a white christening gown for newly baptized babies comes from. These new Christians of the first century AD were immersed in a depth of water, and as they were hauled back to the surface, the first words they heard were these, "Rise, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And you know, these words have found their way into the epistle to the Ephesians. It's a fragment of an ancient baptismal hymn, and they've been preserved there to this day. In fact, we read them this morning from the epistle to the Ephesians. "Rise, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The 14th verse of the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Now, some Christians living in the first century AD, especially the ones living in ancient Rome, found it overwhelmingly difficult to follow the way of Jesus. They were tempted to compromise their convictions simply for the sake of survival. To be a Christian in the first century sometimes meant being persecuted for the faith. Fear of the lion's den made it easier for some to go back to their old way of life. So the Apostle Paul, who knew from personal experience what persecution looked like, felt like, made it a priority to write letters of encouragement to them. And in his epistle to the Romans, Paul urged these wavering followers of Jesus to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Yet another wardrobe image, if you happen to think of a suit of armor as part of your wardrobe. I love this image, though, armor of light. The Christians in Rome were no strangers to armor. Living in the city at the center of the empire's awe-inspiring military complex meant that every day they saw Roman soldiers in their silvered chainmail armor. But Paul took the image to a new level. He believed, and he wanted the Christians in Rome to believe, that God would guide them and defend them in the life of faith by means of heavenly light, that God would reclothe them with light. The armor of light. How'd you like to try that one on for size? Now, in the Hebrew language, in the first chapter of Genesis, again, where the word light is used for the very first time, the word that's used is the Hebrew word or. God said, "Let there be or," and there was or. Now, think about this. This was on the first day of creation. But it wasn't until several days later, on the fourth day of creation, that we're told that God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. So here we are on the first day, 3 days before the creation of all these celestial bodies. So where did the light come from? Well, this was not simple illumination. It wasn't incandescent light. We're talking about something greater. When the Hebrew word or appears in other parts of the Bible, it always refers to a supernatural light. Like here, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is a little example of Hebrew poetry. The Hebrew poetry of the Old Testament doesn't rely on rhyming of sound like in English, you know, Jack and Jill went up the hill. It relies on rhyming of meaning. So we get a hint about the nature of this light, this or. The light in the first part of the verse parallels the glory of the Lord in the second part of the verse. So the or God called into existence at the dawn of creation was a divine life force, a vital energy. And energy, according to the laws of physics, cannot be destroyed. It can only be transformed. In one branch of Judaism, it's believed that this supernatural light can dwell within or enclose itself in a vessel. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul meant by armor of light. That the first Christians could be clothed in that same God-given courage and strength that they needed to the extent that they let this vital energy be transformed into a creative force arising from within them. So for you and me, same as for these first century Christians, this light, the light of Christ, shines into our lives, and like John's gospel says, the darkness cannot overcome it. I think it's cute, actually, that in the archaic English of the King James Version of the Bible, John chapter 1, verse 5 is translated, "The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not," as though the darkness can't even understand the light of Christ. But listen now, because in order for this light to be transformed into a vital energy within our lives, we also need to grapple to comprehend the dark experiences and bleak events of our lives that we're meant to cast off as we put on the armor of light. A couple of weeks ago, during a discussion with a group of people over tea in the Westminster Room, somebody asked, well, what does it really mean to repent? Well, literally, to repent means to turn 180 degrees. Not only does repentance mean turning away from sin, it can also mean turning and looking dark experiences and bleak events squarely in the eye so that we can comprehend them. Somebody I know is currently at a rehab center being treated for addiction. His addiction has been a dark force in his life for many years, but with professional help and strengthened by his faith in God, he's finally prepared to wrestle it to the ground. Until now, he's never been able to face the things from his past that have contributed to how he is. But as he was packing his bags, knowing that he might not come home for many months, he said to me, "They're going to make me really open up there, aren't they?" Well, what will it take for you to really open up? For you to face your darkness? We all have some darkness. If there's resentment or guilt or bitterness or shame festering in a dark corner of your memory, what do you need to let God take it away? A lot of people don't, maybe can't even believe that God will never let us down. But let me say to you with all the conviction that bubbles up within me, God will never forget you. God will never leave you. God will never let you down. The book of Isaiah says, "It's the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty?" God will never forget you. God will never leave you. God will never let you down. I'm coming to the end of this, but before I do, I want to share a last experience with you. Years ago, I led a group of Canadian Christians on a spiritual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And I remember a quiet moment when the group I was leading was back at the residence, when I slipped away for a little bit of quiet on my own. And I remember walking through the old Damascus Gate into the flagstoned maze within the old city of Jerusalem, and continued walking until I came to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Western Christians call it the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Eastern Orthodox Christians call it the Church of the Resurrection. It commemorates the place where the grave of Jesus was and from which he rose again. And as I stepped across the worn threshold of that ancient church, I inhaled the fragrance of incense and of centuries of prayer. And then I came to the place where the stone tablet that honors the grave of Jesus and his place of resurrection. And as I went in there on that occasion, I was struck by how dark the interior of the church was. But as I knelt at that tablet, I became aware of hundreds of flickering candles, each one representing the hopes and fears of other pilgrims. And I thanked God for the gift of faith. And I remembered both dark and shining moments that have been part of my own life. And I realized afresh, God clothes us in light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So countless millennia have come and gone since God first spoke light into existence on the first day of creation, and 20 centuries have passed since the light of the risen Lord first shone into the darkness of this world. But as I knelt in that church, I felt myself renewed, clothed afresh by the light of Christ. And I need to say that even now, right here, it glows with constant and life-giving warmth. Darkness is banished. May people see shining from deep within you a vital energy that is more than a style and much more than skin deep. May God take away your sackcloth and heal you. May God relieve you of the dark experiences that obscure the joy that God wants for all of us. And may you be clothed in the light of Christ, which no darkness can ever overcome. Amen. Let us stand now and confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us continue standing or seated or kneeling as we pray for God's world.
Let us pray to our loving parent God as children in one family. We thank you, loving God, for giving us one another to enjoy, to laugh and cry with, to learn to live with. May even our conflicts and arguments be used in helping us to grow up in your love. Loving God, we give you thanks. Thank you, loving God, for showing us the way to love and giving us opportunities to give, to take second place, to accept people as they are, to forgive them when they annoy us, and look for their needs before our own. Loving God, thank you, loving God, for the world we live in, for the colors and the shapes, the sounds and the textures in it. Thank you for giving us minds and emotions and help us to reverence the whole of creation. Loving God, thank you, loving God, for comfort and sympathy, reassurance and practical caring when we are ill or sad. Be with those in our parish, O Lord, who need your comfort and help, especially remembering Beth Brown, Patrick Convoy, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Emerson Muir, John Fryer, Helen Freeman, Al McMillan, Abby Woodson, and Deb. And please remember our selection committee as they go about choosing the right rector for this holy place. Make us all more aware of the needs of those around us, and let our loving show in action. Loving God,
we give you thanks.
Thank you, loving God, for your promise to be with us always, and not just until we die. We remember with affection those of our parents who loved us into existence and now live in eternity. Gather up into your loving arms those who have recently died, and comfort all whose memories make them aware of loss today. Loving God, we give you thanks. Thank you, loving God, for giving us space and support, guidance and forgiveness, challenge and reassurance. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you stand? May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with a sign of Christ's peace. God of light, your word brings to us a new vision of your glory. Accept our offering of praise and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through the prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy God, source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, loving God, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Savior taught us, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread, communion in Christ's body once broken. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying. If we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall reign with him. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
still thirst, because your bread broken for others, shared until all are filled. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church, gather today. Longing for shelter, many are homeless. Longing for warmth, many are cold. Make us your building, sheltering others, walls made of living stone. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in your church, gather today.
Standing, let us pray. Loving God, through your goodness, we receive your Son in word and sacrament. May we always have faith in him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. Return now to the places where God has given you responsibility. Remember the peace and love that we have shared and the new life that is already among us. Have courage. Hold fast to what is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Encourage the weak. Strengthen those who fail. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.